potential for conflict of interest is so big, I'll have my children basically run the family business while I run the White House, and I just won't talk to them about business while I'm in office. So what could go wrong?
I want to get to some breaking news. We are monitoring a magnitude 7.3 earthquake struck Japan.
Is artificial intelligence dangerous for humans, or is it going to be helpful to humans?
I see it as extraordinarily useful.
Ignorance of evil and ignorance of injustice is not an justification to be part of it.
Right.
So anyone that supports Trump by omission or by commission are not welcome to do business in my company.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Monday. It is November 28, 2016, 5:10. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day, another business week. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, ate plenty of food, had several helpings, watched a lot of football. Glad to have you back. Time to start counting a little bit of calories. We're going to be counting some numbers here on The Opening Bell this morning as we look at the world markets coming up. We're also going to be counting how many dimes people spent from Black Friday and look ahead a little bit at Cyber Monday, which is today. I don't know if you're taking part, but a lot of people are. They'll be doing it, believe it or not, from work. We'll tell you about a new survey about some people who are getting in trouble for that, as a matter of fact. But first, to the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing toward a lower open on Wall Street later, off 59 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Crude oil is trading lower as well. In Asia this morning, the Nikkei has finished off about 24 points. That mainly because of concern about OPEC and whether or not there will be a curb in production. It doesn't appear that's going to happen. The big news there today is a production deal appears to be unraveling, dominating Asian trade Monday, possibly adding to volatility in this country as well as we move toward the opening bell. Couple of other big headlines for you. DirecTV says it wants to be the next online substitute for cable. Also this morning, Dakota Access Pipeline protesters have been told to leave by December 5th. You know, those protesters have been there through the bad weather, through the holidays, and they are vowing not to leave, but they're being told that they will be forcibly removed. Wells Fargo seeking an arbitration order in a customer lawsuit, and nostalgic customers are still seeking out L.L. Bean's Old Boots. We'll have a story at the end of the broadcast about how popular those are. Did you go shopping over the weekend? Black Friday? The National Retail Federation says early holiday promotions and belief that deals will always be available took a toll on consumer spending over the Thanksgiving weekend. Shoppers spent an average of 3.5% less than a year ago. The National Federation said yesterday, the NRF says its survey of about 4,300 consumers conducted Friday and Saturday showed that they were a little stingy with their money. NRF Chief Executive Officer Matt Shea on the reason for that drop.
What we're hearing so far is very good. It's very positive. I think we're coming off of good, strong numbers from October. The survey work we've done already indicates that we're going to have almost record-breaking crowds this year. We have really big numbers, 137 million people out there over the weekend.
There were record-breaking crowds indeed. They just were not spending. Perhaps they'll do it today with Cyber Monday. By the way, a separate researcher report released on Saturday by Adobe Digital Insights showed Thanksgiving and Black Friday online sales were $5.27 billion, up 18% from a year earlier and higher than its estimate of $5.05 billion. What did you have for Thanksgiving dinner? Did you have a nice turkey, maybe a little dressing, some stuffing? Perhaps you did the home chef route and had blue cheese and green onion crusted steak, maybe some pan-seared chicken and roasted beet salad, maybe some adobo chicken enchiladas. The Chicago-based company Home Chef is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're happy today on our CEO spotlight to have the CEO of Home Chef, Pat Vitalik, in the studio with us today, homechef.com. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Real Home Chef. And, Pat, good to be with you this morning. Glad you're here. Give our audience, for those who are not familiar with what Home Chef is and does, a little bit of a sense of what you do.
Home Chef's a fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service, so we send fresh portion ingredients and step-by-step recipes directly to our customers' doorsteps across the country.
So you don't actually go. So when I first started reading and doing some research about you, I thought, ooh, he comes to my house and cooks. It's not really like that, is it?
Yeah, a chef is not popping out of the box when it arrives on your doorstep. So you're essentially getting everything you need portioned for you that you need to cook a restaurant-quality meal in your own home.
Is this the new thing? Is this how we're going?
It's a huge trend. So I think we've benefited a lot from general market expansion of this concept. Mm-hmm. So we're not the only people doing meal kits out there. But I think it's, you know, hits on a lot of key consumer trends. So convenience, transparency are two big items, two big reasons that people sign up for our service. And I think that's why it's really clicking with people.
How disaster proof is this? Because I'm not generally that well versed in the kitchen. Is this disaster proof or no?
That's the idea, yeah. Right? So we're trying to make cooking as simple as it possibly can be without sacrificing any of the quality or any of the choice in what you'd like to eat. And so we really break it down for you and try to make it as foolproof as it possibly can be. So you'll get a recipe card that would outline all the ingredients that you'll be using in the recipe. We'll give you some kind of tips and hints on how to get started, and then we'll actually walk you through each of the steps in the cooking process and call out certain things that you may overlook if you're not following step by step.
So as you're getting ready to embark on this, let's say I want to do this and get one of these cooking cards, what do I need to have in my kitchen to make sure that this is a go? Because I would imagine you just can't go into some bachelor's kitchen with nothing there. You have to have a few tools, right?
Yeah, so you need basic things. So pots and pans to cook. And then you need salt and pepper and olive oil. And so that's really all that we ask of you to have in your kitchen. I have been in a bachelor's kitchen before that didn't even have, you know, salt or crushed black pepper. But most people, I think, do have those kind of staple items in their kitchen already. However, it's something that we let our customers know in advance that those are the few items that we expect them to have.
Pat Vitalik, CEO of HomeChef.com, in our CEO spotlight this morning here in the opening bell. We'll continue with our conversation in a minute. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, a couple of stocks of local interest that we're watching this morning. Motorola is doing well this morning, up almost a full percentage point. Mondelez International, the stack food company, is up almost 1.5%. McDonald's is up just a fraction this morning. It's 5:21.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, this is Cyber Monday. It is traditionally the busiest online shopping day of the year. Investors are betting on better than expected sales as retail stocks have seen a surge. During the holiday shopping weekend that kicked off on Thanksgiving and the day afterward known as Black Friday, more and more shoppers decided to skip the mayhem in stores and buy online. Consumers spent $3.34 billion shopping online on Friday, a 21.6% increase from the same day last year. That, according to Adobe Digital Insights, which tracks online retail transactions. China plans to build a $2 billion film studio, the latest example of a national push to expand its cultural influence. Asian stock markets were mixed today after oil prices slid on unease about this week's meeting of OPEC members. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:22 as we continue with our CEO spotlight today. In the CEO spotlight is Pat Vitalik. He's the CEO and founder of HomeChef.com. And he's been talking about how the company has been growing. Pat, before the break, we talked specifically about just kind of what you do and how this all works. And it's also sort of interesting to note that, you know, you don't really have to be a chef to do this. You're growing by leaps and bounds. You're obviously doing something right. What is it that you are doing right? And are you going to get any negative complaints?
Well, I think we're always striving to make things even easier and even more foolproof. Mm-hmm. So we have some customers who want to have, you know, the culinary challenge, would rather cook a recipe that takes 45 minutes or an hour. And we have other customers who simply want to use us for convenience and would rather take 10 or 15 minutes to cook a dish. And so we've got, you know, 13 items on our menu right now. So that's 10 dinner items and then three what we call add-ons. So a breakfast item, a smoothie, and a fruit basket. Everyone's got their own personal preferences out there in general, and I think that's why we've been so successful today is because we're able to accommodate a lot of those various personal preferences. But there's always more we can be adding to our service over time. So making recipes even more simple over time, or even adding more recipes that are more difficult to appease kind of mm-hmm. the people who are looking for more of a challenge than a time-saving tool.
What I think is amazing about your story is that you started not as a chef. You have coding experience, you have business experience. What of those do you think helped you the most, or are they evenly placed in terms of getting you ready to be the CEO that you are?
So I think my day-to-day has evolved a lot over the last few years. So I founded the business back in the summer of 2013, and you know, the first 6 months, I was our only engineer. So I was spending, you know, 90% of my time coding, essentially. My very first hire was getting a chef. So I put up an ad on Craigslist and had over 100 resumes for our chief chef was the position at the time. And so, you know, I've never pretended to bring the credibility on kind of the recipe or the food side. But, you know, my experience with programming has enabled me to be really close to our product in general and kind of how the service works and making sure that our customer experience is always a good one. But, you know, before I got into programming, I worked in finance and worked with a lot of high growth companies that were either going public or kind of ready to sell to a bigger buyer. And, you know, I think I learned a lot about companies that kind of coming in toward the end and helping, you know, a CEO or a board position the company for kind of a better story or a better outcome for shareholders. But I missed kind of the experience of building something. And that's what really drew me toward Home Chef was, you know, the opportunity to really roll up my sleeves and start something from scratch. And so I was touched on kind of the evolution of my day-to-day. It was, you know, 80 to 90% coding in the first few months of the business, and now I spend a lot of my time on people-related issues. So we've got 700 full-time employees now across three different facilities in the U.S. So, you know, when we had 20 full-time people at the beginning of 2015, you can imagine I've spent quite a bit of time just with our team and developing our team and recruiting and adding to our team so that we can continue to kind of deliver on our promise, essentially.
And in that time, too, not only have you added those employees, but you've really sort of saturated the country. Tell us how many meals that go out each month and where they're going to.
Yeah, so right now we're sending about 1.8 million meals per month. And so we deliver to about 97% of the U.S. Continental U.S. population. And so we've got three distribution facilities, one in Chicago, one in California, and one in Atlanta. And that allows us to reach really the entire country. All types of different customers are using us. So we've got young millennials. We've got an older population of empty nesters and young families. So they're really the use cases are all across the board, and it's refreshing to see you know, some people using us for culinary discovery and other people using us for convenience. But at the end of the day, we really focus a lot on making sure that customer satisfaction is always in a very strong place. And so, you know, while we've expanded a lot this year, I think we've done a good job of keeping our satisfaction scores really high.
And at what point did you know you had a winner?
It's a good question. You know, I think, you know, at some point along the way, this turned from more of an experiment to a responsibility. I don't know exactly when that happened. It could have been, you know, I bootstrapped the business for the first year. So, you know, that was coming straight out of my wife's and my own personal savings. So getting outside capital was definitely a turning point, you know, knowing that I've got someone else who believes in me, believes in the company, believes in the vision, and now I want to make that guy some money. And you know, I think that's one piece of it, but I think the bigger piece has probably have been as our team has expanded. It's one thing, you know, serving tens of thousands of customers every week, but we also have nearly 1,000 employees that are relying on us on a you know, biweekly basis for payroll. It's been really rewarding to see the team grow and to see individuals within the team grow and kind of scale with the business.
Pat Vitalik is the CEO of Home Chef. You can follow along Real Home Chef on Twitter and online at homechef.com. We'll continue our discussion with Pat after the bell, and we'll post our full podcast later on WGNradio.com on the opening bell page.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:40 and this is Cyber Monday. Are you already online looking for deals? If you're like most people, you are, and you probably started in the middle of the night and will continue later at work. Cyber Monday, though, may be in danger of losing its online sales title. The Monday after Thanksgiving, traditionally the busiest online shopping day of the year. Stores are releasing internet deals earlier, though, stretching them through a week. Some started last Friday, last Thursday even. Shoppers looking for discounts spurred online sales on Black Friday to a new high. So what's it all about?
Cyber Monday is one of the top online shopping days of the year.
What we've seen is this evolution of Cyber Monday, which started out as a day where people went back to work after Black Friday and could tap into high-speed internet. This is, of course, many years ago, to today where people have all of that power in their smartphone.
According to Google, people are searching for NES Classic Edition, Hatchimals, and toys based on the Trolls movie. A good place to start searching for deals? CyberMonday.com. Here you'll find a pretty thorough list of retailers, plus their offers and coupon codes. Next up, check out the Editor's Choice section on DealNews.com. The company uses 20 years of pricing data and its own team of experts to help decide if a deal is actually good. If it's electronics you're interested in,
we don't sleep. That's our secret to success.
Tech Radar is ready to help.
We see like a lot of 55-inch TVs being searched for on our site, and also VR headsets. Since that's a new thing, and also drones.
So get clicking. Joining us now is Dale Buss. He's with Brand Channel, Forbes, others as well. He knows all about this kind of stuff. Dale, good morning. Hi, are you there, Dale? All right. Dale, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, there.
Here.
There you are. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. A little late.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
We're ready to roll.
So are you online clicking away looking for a drone or something?
No, I let my wife do the shopping. So
yeah.
you can shop online now? I didn't even know.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, before we get into Cyber Monday, let's talk about Black Friday. Not as good as retailers were expecting.
Well, right. Although kind of in general, the expectation these days is that more and more sales are going to drift from the classic Black Friday, you know, the classic doorbuster thing where people get killed in the parking lot. I think it still happens occasionally, but some of the factors mentioned in the report certainly come into play. Obviously, online shopping getting bigger every year, meaning that the actual importance of Black Friday at bricks and mortar stores, you know, continues to be diluted, even though shopping, you know, seemed to turn out pretty well on Black Friday. Interesting twist, too, is that there's more mobile shopping over the Thanksgiving weekend. I saw something in the Wall Street Journal which suggested that bringing out your laptop around the family Thanksgiving dinner or even on Black Friday isn't socially acceptable, so people doing a lot of shopping with their mobile devices. So all this represents an evolution, a continued evolution of shopping, which is kind of accented on Black Friday because it's traditionally such an important shopping day for bricks and mortar retailers.
Yeah, I think another one of those examples was Target allowed people with their digital app to get half off in some cases of toys, I think. Is Amazon, you think, going to emerge the grand champion again, or does it have competition?
Well, Amazon definitely is the grand champion of this whole evolution. But interestingly, some of the reports from Black Friday and over the weekend setting up for Cyber Monday suggest that the bricks-and-mortar brands and chains that are having such difficulty with how shopping has changed, also have emerged as the most popular online destinations, you know, in addition to Amazon. But for instance, Walmart.com reportedly had a very good weekend, and it's set up well for Cyber Monday. One thing Walmart has done is they've invested more in e-commerce is they've decided to focus on the most popular toys, which always has been a key attribute of Amazon. So Walmart's doing much better in that regard, and I think I saw a report saying that 8 out of the top 10 brands online over this weekend were these traditional chains. So, you know, they've just moved the battle online. Unfortunately, it's more expensive for a Macy's or a Walmart or a Target to get those sales online than if people come into the stores that they've been paying for decades to operate.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the other thing, too, is people use these mobile apps and there are handhelds to sort of comparison shop as well. Is that hurting some of these brick and mortar stores, too? If I go and, hey, that's the item I want, I bet it's on Amazon cheaper, that kind of stuff?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Used to be called showrooming, and if you recall a few years ago, I mean, Best Buy was almost put out of business by showrooming because people would go in and say, hey, I can get the 55-inch TV at Target for this price or Walmart for even better price. How the, you know, bricks and mortar brands have countered is to offer, say, exclusive merchandise in the store. Or you mentioned Target. I mean, Target opened Thursday evening. That kind of drew a little traffic away from Black Friday. So, again, a brand like Target or Walmart is trying to balance, you know, what they do online and making sure they're huge in that environment with the need, you know, the absolute need to still get people to the store and participate in Black Friday.
I was seeing a couple of the retail analysts say that many Americans are still not unsure or still unsure about what's happening with health care. Some of them are not sure what's happening with employment, even though they may have jobs now. This consumer sentiment issue is impacting Black Friday, these holiday sales, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, people, for one thing, the whole season has been stretched out. And there's also talk of the fact that warmer November weather, you know, doesn't produce that kind of warm fuzzy in people, you know, that causes them to go shopping for winter apparel and that kind of thing. But in terms of consumer confidence, definitely. I mean, there's an election hangover. People are still, a lot of people maybe still a little bit rattled about the result. And while Donald Trump's election has caused a bump in consumer confidence measures, and certainly you see what's happened in the stock market, it's at record levels. I mean, we are definitely smack in the middle of that period of uncertainty where, you know, he still doesn't have a transition team in place. His economic policies still aren't clear. And while there may be an orientation toward growth and he may want to grow the economy, you know, it just isn't clear exactly how he's going to do it. People are still just not certain what the new year will bring for their position specifically or for the economy. So definitely some uncertainty hanging in the air that's affecting Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
National Retail Federation says they expect retail sales this holiday to grow 3.6%, maybe to $655 billion. Is that a fair estimate, do you think, it's going to get there?
Well, who knows? I mean, these people are the experts at it. I do think that on net, the post-election period is providing a plus for people. As I said, there, you know, there's talk again about growth in the air, and what's going to make a big difference not only for this holiday season but going forward is whether some of those pro-growth ideas that Trump has are actually going to be instituted. But we just can't know in the meantime. And there, you know, has been some decent jobless data lately, and there are other reasons to think that the economy may be poised for some liftoff. But we're just kind of in that weird interim post-election, pre-Christmas. I think people are maybe sticking to their shopping list, and you know, their biggest decision is whether I'm going to buy it online or go to the store.
I heard one person over the weekend say that he foresaw a time in the future where foresees a time in the future where we do all of our Black Friday holiday shopping online, that the retail stores won't even be able to compete. Is that something that you believe?
No, I think there's still a huge place for, you know, going out to shop in the American tradition. And even, you know, with millennials and you know, kids in Generation Z, the next generation. I mean, there's still something about being out there in the throng, having fun, maybe with the family after a turkey dinner on Thursday night, or a lot of people still traditionally get up and do the doorbuster thing. It's going to be an evolutionary thing over time, but I think there's always going to be some sort of Black Friday. But you also have, you know, while a bunch of people are out shopping on Black Friday morning, you know, young nephew Steve is going to be sitting back at home ordering everything via mobile and just being above it all and not getting crushed in some aisle for a 55-inch TV.
Well, Dale Abbas is with us, writes for Brand Channel, others as well. Dale, my Christmas list is online if you want to go and just pick anything. I don't care.
Yep. Already checking it right now.
All right. Thanks, Dale. It's good to talk with you.
All right. Thanks.
You can follow Dale at Dale the Bus on Twitter. Welcome back to the opening bell on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures pointing down 61 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. The latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we begin a full week of trading again in the markets on Wall Street, the Board of Trade, and the Mercantile Exchange, we'll start the soybean market this week at $10.46 a bushel. That's up 10.5 cents for the day on Friday. But December wheat will start at 3.95¾ after losing 7 cents on Friday, and December corn will start at 3.87½ a bushel after losing a penny on Friday. But a pretty good day in the livestock market at the Mercantile Exchange. The December lean hog contract will start this week at a nickel over $51 a hundredweight after gaining $1.47 on Friday. The December live cattle contract picked up $1.05, so it'll start the week at $110.75. And the January feeder cattle contract ended on Friday with a gain of $2.07 for the day, so it'll start trading at $127.22 when we get back to normal trading again this week. The Department of Agriculture released the October milk production figures, and we keep producing more milk with fewer cows. The National Agricultural Statistics Service report showed a production of 17.6 billion pounds of milk in October, and that's up 2.5% from a year ago, and it's also higher with fewer cows. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
And you too, Orion, as well. Now the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, November 28th, 2016. There are no major economic reports scheduled for today. This is Cyber Monday. Also today, Congress returns from its Thanksgiving break. Later on today, mother flu and autism, a new report out found no association between a mother having flu and infection during pregnancy and increased risk of autism. Full report is coming out later this morning. Nike will launch its HyperAdapt 1.0, the first performance vehicle for Nike's latest platform breakthrough, adaptive lacing. All of that coming up today. Some of it could drive the market. Some big reports tomorrow. The Commerce Department will report on third quarter gross domestic product, and the Standard & Poor's will release the S&P Case-Shiller Index of home prices. And finally, if you are shopping at work for this Cyber Monday, you're not alone. 53% of employees are using time at work to shop online, according to Career Builder. That's up 3% from last year. Of that group, 43% spent an hour or more doing so, compared to 42% last year. Employers are not turning a blind eye to this. 11% of employers say they have fired someone for holiday shopping on the job. So be aware of that if you're Cyber Mondaying today at work. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.